John McClain is with us, brought to you by Horn Solutions. And we wanted to have noted music critic John McClain evaluate the offerings of Paul Gallant, who put together this little compilation about Steph Curry and his thoughts on the moon landing.
It all started when Kyrie said that the earth is flat. The day we found out the whole NBA's wearing tinfoil hats. Draymond Green and Wilson Chandler and even Shaq, believing in science from the 1500s, quite the weird throwback. Smoking the reefer and getting lost on the YouTube. Claim you were starting a conversation while you embarrassed Duke. But fellas, did you hear about this one? Steph Curry thinks the moon landing's fake. Hey Stephen, step away from the microphone when you wake and bake. Curry believes we never went to the moon, never went to the moon. I wish I could see him say it to Buzz Aldrin's face so he could punch him into space. Curry doesn't believe mouth guards belong in his mouth, belong in his mouth. If he believed, he'd get to keep all his teeth despite his belief. Curry believes we never went to the moon, never went to the moon. I wish I could see him say it to Buzz Aldrin's face so he could punch him into space.
John, what's the McClain takeaway from that?
Well, the voice or the words? The words were good. The voice, words I'd give it A minus. The voice, D plus.
Okay.
I like YouTube. Punch him into space.
It's because Buzz Aldrin once punched and I forget the fella's name. Some person was accosting him for basically 2 minutes or so, saying, "I bet you won't swear on the Bible that you landed on the moon."
Yeah.
And Buzz is basically like, "Get the hell away from me." And then eventually he went right up to his face, called him a thief and a coward, and Buzz just punched him right in the face.
That
it was fantastic.
And I think that guy had been harassing him for a while.
Yes.
That wasn't his first exchange with him. You can find videos of various people like going up to somebody wearing a NASA jacket and confronting him with these theories that are so wacky and ludicrous that you have to work so hard to figure out how somebody. It's so much more unlikely that they could have pulled off this conspiracy and kept it a secret among thousands of people than it is unlikely that they went to the moon. At some point, you just have to do the basic math and be like, okay, how likely is it that in a country with a free press that thousands and thousands and thousands of people kept this secret for 50 years versus like, hey, the relatively simple technology by today's standards that it took to go to the moon, it's pretty easily understandable if you do like a modicum of research. And by that, I don't mean watching crackpot videos on YouTube. Like, read a little bit. Like, it's very understandable that they did it with relatively simple technology. It's just that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to keep going back to the moon. Like, when you can run the experiments you need to run, and when you do the things in space that you need to do right now, a manned mission to the moon is kind of a dumb thing to do. That's why we haven't been back. It's not a good spend right now.
Check out the movie First Man. It's the most accurate thing I've ever seen about that whole process going back to 1961 when the Russians beat us up and how important it was to the United States then. And of course, it's not important now.
John, how big of a deal is it to you that Clowney didn't talk to reporters after the offsides penalty on Sunday?
Oh, I don't care. We went in, we asked him. If he don't want to talk, that's fine. I mean, he made a mistake. He knows it. He never would comment on calling Blake Bortles trash. We tried to get him to follow up on it, and he didn't. And in this case, he'll be talking today or tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll address it.
I wonder if does the city of Jacksonville owe Clowney an apology? now that it's been definitively proven that Bortles is trash?
This is a good question by you. That'll be our question for week 17. Paul, remind me of that.
Because let's remember, the city of Jacksonville, and yes, every single person in the city of Jacksonville
Everyone.
Sent trash cans to the stadium for Clowney. Clowney filled those trash cans up with toys and gave them out to the needy at Christmas time.
Speaking of Jacksonville.
Who's trash now?
Do you believe this Jason Nolock Infirmer report that Tom Coughlin's thinking about coaching the Jaguars next season?
Well, first of all, you can say anything you want about anybody and say he's considering, he's thinking. I could say, let's see, what's an opening that comes up that I could say, well, I heard Bill O'Brien's thinking about going to Cleveland. And, of course, it wouldn't be true. I see so much stuff out there that can't be that people just aren't going to dispute. Knowing Coughlin, and I think, Seth, you would agree with this, I'm sure it has crossed his mind. He's a coach.
Yeah.
You know, he's been very quiet. I'm sure he sees every game, every tape, and he's thinking, well, I would have done this or I would have done that. So I'm sure he's thinking about it.
I wonder, it's interesting seeing him make the transition to the front office and having his hands on everything and ultimate authority over everything. He has always been a good delegator as a coach. He just holds people to really high standards, but he was rarely his own offensive coordinator. You know, and he had different guys that ran different systems at various times as his offensive coordinator. I thought he would make the transition to front office pretty well because of that. But I wonder here if he feels like, okay, I just got to get my hands dirty and fix this thing myself. I have no issue. I think a lot of people would say, oh boy, well, Coughlin with these millennials. Yeah, Coughlin with the millennials. Just like Joe Madden is reading books about how to deal with millennials, Coughlin understands better than anybody because he's been around so long that each successive generation is a little bit different and not one is better or worse than the other. You just have to treat them a little bit differently.
The thing I'm surprised about Jacksonville is you have Coughlin and Marone, tough guys, disciplinarians, and yet you've had Jalen Ramsey shooting his mouth off like he has going
yep.
back to the offseason. You had players staying out till 4:30 in the morning in London. You know, I can't imagine. I just am stunned. Knowing what disciplinarians they are, that they would have the kind of players who would test them like that.
I think one of the problems they have is a credibility issue at quarterback, which I think creates a locker room issue. When you have somebody, a quarterback who's not that good, and everybody there knows that, hey, we passed on two legitimate options to keep this guy, I think it creates a credibility issue.
I would worry more about Jalen Ramsey saying exactly that in the locker room than anything Jalen Ramsey says publicly. Like, Jalen Ramsey knows how much better Deshaun Watson or
Pat Mahomes.
Or Pat Mahomes or damn, even Mitchell Trubisky. I'll say that. You got a Mitchell Trubisky, and I don't think Trubisky's very good, but I actually think that he would have been a better choice. Like, take any of those quarterbacks instead of sticking with who you have, and this guy's getting paid all this money. You're right. It creates a weird dynamic in the locker room.
Time now for Mad Takes. Interesting story in the NFL. The city of Oakland filed a federal lawsuit against the Oakland Raiders. So the Raiders do not have a lease next season, and Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, has said previously that he would not play in Oakland if a lawsuit were ever filed. Now, who knows how big of a deal this lawsuit is? Who knows how big of a deal it is for the Oakland Raiders on either side? John, do we have any sense for where the Raiders are going to play next season before they go to Vegas?
I would think that they would go down and play in Santa Clara. And there was talk about that. Bob McNair told me when he was head of the finance committee last year that the owners had a plan in place to help the Raiders build a new stadium at the current site. But the A's would have had to play downtown San Francisco for 2 years, and they wouldn't do it.
Okay.
And I don't blame the A's for not doing it because they think they're going to get a stadium now for about 35,000 seats built for them. They're pushing that really hard right now. But I don't think the Raiders can be back. It's already been ruled out that they could play at UNLV Stadium. And, somebody wrote this and I don't buy it. They might play in a current NFL city. Like, do you move them to the Rose Bowl? Do you move them down to San Diego? That would be a disaster along the lines of the Chargers.
What a fiasco.
Wouldn't that be a fiasco? Wouldn't it be great to see the Chargers get home field advantage in the AFC and have crowds of 25,000, most of the fans being the opponent?
That's what we're missing out with the Chiefs right now holding on to the one seed is the possibility of that home playoff game at that soccer stadium.
Just go down and play it in San Diego. Just take a road trip. And by that, it would be closer for Philip Rivers, too.
It would be closer, indeed.
I don't know how many people listen to Paul Feinbaum, the SEC expert who does a radio show that I believe is also simulcast on one of the ESPN networks, possibly the SEC network. Well, Joe from Red Bay had quite the hot take on Tua Tagovailoa and why he should have won the Heisman Trophy.
You're suggesting that Tua should have won the Heisman Trophy?
Yes, he should have won it. Kyler Murray, he wouldn't be our fourth-string quarterback at Alabama.
See, Joe, I mean, I'm going to stop you right there.
Good job by Paul Feinbaum, just ending it right there. But that is the kind of caller that you will get with Paul Feinbaum. Paul! Tua Tagovailoa should have won the Heisman Trophy. That damn Kyler Murray playing in the Big 12. They don't play defense. They don't play against high schoolers over there. It's fantastic.
It's such a simple concept. Like, hey, people who are SEC fans are crazy. Let's build a radio show around the craziness of SEC fans.
But Kyler Murray won the Heisman because his defense was awful.
Well, is that true?
He got to stay on the field. He didn't play any fourth quarters like Tagovailoa.
Oh, if Tagovailoa had actually been able to play in the fourth quarters,
Tua struggled so much in the SEC championship game. They would have lost that game had he continued to play. And Jalen Hurts coming in actually is the reason that they won. Like, if Tua had played that entire game, I feel like there's no doubt that Kyler's the guy. Yeah, he was injured, but he wasn't good.
Like, let's not pretend that Kyler Murray going and playing for Alabama this year, all of a sudden they would have been any different than they are right now. Like, Kyler Murray would have done the exact same thing, if not more. It would be hard for you.
Don't get me wrong. I think had the best regular season in college football, but he was so shaky in the SEC championship game. I'm taking injury aside. Kyler Murray never had a bad game this season.
Do they do it after the championship game or before?
Well, a few idiots who should have their votes revoked voted before the title games, but yeah, the vast majority of Heisman voters vote after those title games.
Would the SEC be the easiest conference in which you could convince the entire fan base that the moon landing was faked?
Yes.
Probably. I think for sure.
Like, yeah, I think so.
100% it'd be the SEC. They're just begging for something to latch on to and believe it, like, despite anything else.
What about the hardest conference? The Pac-12?
Pac-12, probably, yeah. Maybe. Well, I don't know, because at the same time, you've got that kind of Pete Carroll conspiracy theorist, like, don't believe the man. Yeah, the man wants you to believe that we landed on the moon so they can control your brains. That's, so the Pac-12 might actually be an easier sell.
Isn't Steph Curry from SEC country?
But
he also went to Davidson.
Didn't he grow up South Carolina?
North Carolina, which I feel like,
he's from ACC country.
I feel like that's especially basketball-wise, that is ACC country.
Davidson College takes a big hit on this one.
I can't really argue with that because college should teach you how to think.
I mean, Duke. What about Duke? Can you imagine Duke? You're sitting there with like one of your alumni saying that the earth is flat.
The thing is, though, alumni is a stretch when the guy played there for a year. Kyrie Irving.
Like 3 months at Duke should train you at least that the earth isn't flat. Derek Newton signed with the New Orleans Saints as he will continue his quest to be the first player to take a snap in the regular season after suffering the dual patellar tendon tear injury. Because there was the one guy, that Wendell Davis, who did it back in 1993. I remember that day well when he did it at the old Veterans Stadium. He just snapped it on a dead spot, both of those. There was the Baxter character from a few years back. But Derek Newton is with the Saints, and we all wish him well. And it would be a hell of a comeback.
Yeah, none of those guys came back.
Yeah.
I mean, again, this was another one where I had people tweeting me last night saying, did the Texans make a mistake in releasing Derek Newton? And my thought was like, let's think about this logically. The Texans, despite what you might think on some particular Sundays, are not morons. They know as much about the offensive line issues that you know they have. They know even more about that. They paid Derek Newton a year to rehab. If anybody had an incentive to keep Newton around, if he had any hope of being good, it would be the Texans, and they still released him. That was my main response to those people.
Yeah, the only mistake, trading Dwayne Brown. Still a mistake.
I agree with that. It's going to take a long time to replace Dwayne Brown, but hopefully they'll replace him by next season. Hopefully.
Another mistake. Asking Kawhi Leonard about his favorite Christmas moment.
So, Merry Christmas. Can you talk about your favorite Christmas moment?
Not right now.
Not right now, no. I sort of feel bad because I imagine there's like an assignment on high for this guy to ask Kawhi that question. But first of all, we're not even at Christmas week. Second of all, like,
shut up! It's December. I'm wearing my Christmas sweater. Just because it's not Christmas week doesn't mean we can't celebrate Christmas. You're not Christmas celebrating pagan.
Paul's you SOB.
Heathen. Heathen!
Has anyone ever looked at Kawhi Leonard and been like, I really wonder what Kawhi Leonard's favorite Christmas moment was? Yes. Has that ever occurred to
anyone? A lot of times bosses tell TV people, radio people, and even newspaper people, website, go out and ask players about Christmas. That's big at this time
of year.
And
he did sound like a foreign correspondent based off his accent.
My first thought was like, oh crap, what if Kawhi Leonard's father got killed like right around Christmas? That actually happened in August back when it did. Because remember his dad got shot when he was 16 years old. That's why he still drives his old Malibu. He keeps his dad's Malibu.
Oh, that's why?
Like in perfect condition, yeah. So that was my first thought. I was like, oh man. Like, I hope this isn't the case and this guy just has no idea, but that wasn't it. Kawhi's just being Kawhi.
He's just a robot.
Yeah.
Let's do one more here.
Does anybody have a favorite? I don't really have a favorite Christmas memory. I remember the time my great-grandfather almost choked to death at the dinner table and didn't. I guess that was probably the good... Nobody knew what to do. He was like, he started choking and he turned blue and like... You're like, do you Heimlich, a 90-year-old man?
Yes.
I guess so.
Yes.
Listening to the Time Life Christmas collection of music, in the specific order of those songs, those only songs, I refuse to listen to any variations of them while licking oatmeal cookie batter off of a blender. Yes, that is a memory that I had every single year, and I enjoyed it very much. I really like Christmas time.
When I got my first baseball glove when I was 7, we were poor, and we grew up in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house, and I had a baseball glove because I started falling in love with baseball, and I was so proud of it, I put it out on the front porch where everybody would see it.
That's awesome. That's a nice memory right there. Now, I'm a little bit nervous that people would steal it, but nonetheless, good job.
They steal your packages these days. Watch out.
This was back when they didn't steal things like that.
Not in these hard Scrabble times. Nope.
There's just more packages to steal now.
There are a lot of packages to steal.
There's packages everywhere. Like, yes. I tempted myself, damn it, to steal some of these packages.
Because whenever you see that Amazon logo, you're like, is that for me?
I almost got hit by 4 Amazon vans yesterday in my neighborhood. They're everywhere. They're throwing them out the window like newspapers.
I still think I accidentally stole a package that was given to me because I randomly got a mail to me. Rogaine. Like, I don't know why. I still don't know why. I still have it, too. I should have returned it, but whatever. We're saving it for a rainy day.
I had the date wrong. Kawhi Leonard's father was shot, in mid-January of 2008. So maybe there are some Christmas.
Maybe the Christmas tree was still up.
Yeah.
John, you're right. Don't
ask him about New Year's.
Yeah. John, you are writing about the Texans facing first-round quarterbacks in the Chronicle.
I'm doing that for Friday. I'm writing tomorrow about all the big plays they've given up in the last 6 quarters to Baker Mayfield and Andrew Luck, what they got to do to reduce it.
John McClain, every Wednesday, brought to you by Horn Solutions. Thank you, John.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having Matt Rule on. Merry Christmas and happy holidays
to
everyone.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays.